This is Age of Treason Radio. On the White Network.
And Daddy always smiled, took me by the hand, saying someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now that you never mother's son. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, cause someday it never comes.
With your host, Tan Stoffel. What is liberalism? This is another elementary topic having to do with politics. Liberalism is a word that you hear all the time. It has many different meanings. It's not clear, usually, when somebody's talking about liberalism, exactly what they mean. In fact, I would say that that's probably the most notable thing about the word liberalism and the concept liberalism is that its meaning has changed dramatically over time, and it has no precise meaning even now in time. The naked use of the term, without any context or explanation what the person who's using it means, is ambiguous, and it really has to be explained or has to be known from the person who's using the word what they mean by the word liberalism because of this ambiguity. And deception plays into this because sometimes when the word is used, it's used in an intentionally deceptive way that the meaning of the term is left deliberately broad and unspecific in order to mislead. And I'll probably not this time get to that example, but in the next installment, definitely. I think I want to start by saying that I'm not entirely sure that I've got the full handle on figuring out liberalism and explaining it. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is really just share my thoughts on it and what I've put together and how I see it. And so it's sort of a work in progress too. I welcome comments pointing out aspects of it that I miss. But I see it. The explanation for why the meaning has changed over time, just to cut to the chase here, is that it's progressing from, and it's changing from, a white Aryan origin in meaning to a Jewish meaning. That's the basic shape of things. That's, in a nutshell, what I'm going to cover here and explain. That explains the shift from one group of people and their expression of what that word means, shifting and control over the definition of the word, shifting to another group of people who now rule and can actually do things like that, change the definition of words, and that it's happened very gradually over the course of several hundred years. It's emblematic, really, this word liberalism, of that racial struggle for control over Europe between the Aryans and the Jews, between whites and Jews. The war over politics, war over what the policies should be, societal policies. And that's the context in which you see the word liberalism used. So the history, Just to get at some of the very roots, the earliest roots of its history, you go back to its etymology. And the etymology of one of the etymologies I found for liberal, an explanation of where it comes from, it's how its meaning has changed over time. Let me just read here. Mid-14th century is the first noted use of it. Generous. Also late 14th century, selfish or selfless, sorry, noble, nobly born, abundant. And early 15th century, in a bad sense, extravagant or unrestrained, from the old French liberal, quote, befitting free men, noble, generous, willing, zealous. From the 12th century, from Latin liberalis, meaning noble, gracious, munificent, generous, literally of freedom pertaining to or befitting a free man. So this is where the freedom enters into it, and the association of freedom and liberty. From liber, free, unrestricted, unimpeded, unbridled, unchecked, licentious. From PIE, that's Proto-Indo-European, that would be the Aryans, lewd arrow, I'm not sure how to pronounce that exactly, source of Greek eleutheros, meaning free, probably originally, quote, belonging to the people, unquote, though precise semantic development is obscure. And a suffixed form of the base lewd people, this gets really confusing reading this, but it's basically a bunch of other Proto-Indo-European influences on various other languages, Slavonic and Old English and German and Old High German. And here, and at the very end of the etymology, it says, with the meaning, quote, free from restraint in speech or action, which is closer to the to one of the more contemporary meanings of the term. Liberal was used in the 16th through the 17th century as a term of reproach, something negative and bad. It revived in a positive sense in the Enlightenment with a meaning of, quote, free from prejudice, tolerant, which emerged in 1776 through 88. And the point about this etymology, I think that comes out pretty clearly, is the Aryan origins of it, not just in the Proto-Indo-European language roots, but in the fact that it literally meant noble, nobly born, that nobility is Aryan. Aryan means noble, and liberal in its original sense meant noble, and only later took on these other meanings of freedom. And probably because that was associated with nobility. It was associated with nobleness. It was a like nobility itself was an Aryan trait, an Aryan personality trait, that freedom was sort of expression of it, or at least the sense of freedom that it was used originally. But now, liberal has taken on more of a Jewish meaning. That's how it has changed so radically. And its defining feature, instead of being freedom of restraint of speech or action, the Jewish version of liberalism actually means restrictions on specifically white Aryan speech and action. That's what it means in practice. The Wikipedia page on liberalism says that it's founded on two main ideas, the contemporary meaning of the word liberalism as a sort of political philosophy. The two main ideas are liberty, people being free to live, free from constraints on speech and thoughts, and equality, that every human born is born possessing these, quote, natural rights. And this was an idea of John Locke, who's often identified as the founder of liberalism in its modern sense. It was really just the sort of modern Aryan sense. It was in the historic context, it was the middle ground actually between a transition from a pure Aryan meaning to today's closer to pure Jewish meaning. Today, instead of every person being born with equal rights, what we actually have in this modern Judaized liberalism is the concept of protected classes and hate crimes, which are only crimes against certain protected classes of people, that they divvy up the population into protected and non-protected. And guess what? It means basically white and non-white, the non-whites being the protected class, basically, and whites being not protected. Some people in this system of equality are more equal than others is what it amounts to. It's a lie, basically. And that's the another fundamental characteristic of Jewish liberalism, is that it's based on a fraud, the idea that it's about equality when it's not. Also from the Wikipedia page, I can have a section here to actually read. Liberalism rejected the notions common at the time of hereditary privilege, state religion, absolute monarchy, and the divine right of kings. In other words, it was a reaction against those things. It was in opposition to those things. It developed in opposition to those long-standing socio-political features of Europe, characteristic of Europe. All of those things that liberalism supposedly is in, at least when it was first became popular, was in opposition to those things and ended up overturning those things. There is no more state religion or absolute monarchy or divine right of kings or hereditary privilege, for that matter, in Western, formerly white-run countries, now that they're run by the Jews. In other words, it's not really a natural expression of European nature. You know, that's one of the things that one of the illusions that I've operated under for most of my life is this idea that liberalism, and I think most people believe this, and maybe even some racialists, that liberalism is just part of European nature. I mean, just this desire for equality, and you can look and imagine you see it, and even I do this, is in the hunter-gatherer origins, that we were all equal, and that's where it comes from. It's not what liberalism meant originally. Liberalism didn't mean equality. That's part of how it changed as the Jews took control over the language and the political philosophy of Europe, the spirit and soul of Europe. And we see how that shift that displaced absolute monarchy and you know, basically inequality, hierarchy, aristocracy, was a revolution. It was a turn, and we see this in retrospect very clearly, a turn toward destruction, that it actually wiped away, even if you do accept that equality and hierarchy or egalitarianism and aristocracy are sort of complementary halves of European nature baked into us, that this adoption of this meaning of liberalism, this idea, wiped out the aristocratic hierarchical side. And in that sense was destructive immediately. And it's also leading to our destruction today. A good point to make here is that about this, the fact that it's a lie and it's a fraud, that the idea of equality and that liberalism is about equality, is the fact that under this liberal system that we have today, and that we're all equal but some people are more equal than others, is that the Jews are the archetype of non-white unequalness, that they're the ones who are elevated. They were the first elevated, and they're elevated the highest above all other non-whites, with whites at the bottom of the totem pole. Continuing now with the Wikipedia page on liberalism, it says, with the rise of Enlightenment, and this is sort of tracking the history of the development of the term, with the rise of the Enlightenment, the word liberal acquired decisively more positive undertones, being defined as, quote, free from narrow prejudice in 1781 and, quote, free from bigotry in 1823. In 1815, the first use of the word liberalism appeared in English. By the middle of the 19th century, liberal started to be used as a politicized term for parties and movements all over the world. And so we see there the shift in meaning corresponds, or at least correlates in time, to the emancipation of Jews, the rise of Jewish power, overt Jewish expression of political power, you know, step Jewish emancipation is usually understood as the Jews being given equal political status, and what it really was a sort of a Jewish coup, really, that they were free, given the green light, effectively, to unleash their infiltration, manipulation, and exploitation of whites. But the other point about this aspect of this description of it is that it was seen as a good thing, as a popular thing. It became a popular thing that all political parties wanted to incorporate somehow. They wanted to give the at least put it in their label, put it in their advertising, in their brand. You know, they wanted to embrace the idea. And, you know, to the point where today liberalism is a descriptor for the whole shebang, the whole system of our society, not just its politics, but the whole society is described with the word liberalism. That's how entrenched it became. It became embraced universally. We also see here the development of the concept, not just of equality, but a turn toward the inequality of modern liberalism, of, you know, elevating non-whites above whites. We see this tolerance, which is the key word there. And it, because it means tolerance of the other. It means tolerance of other people who are different. And in this case, at this time in Europe, that meant the Jews, because they were the only other that was really there. And I mean, besides the gypsies, but nobody really cared to give the gypsies equal political status. And it wasn't really just Europeans magnanimously awarding a political equality to the Jews. It was Jewish influence on the upper class dictating that the Jews were now going to be considered equal politically by fiat from above. It was a top-down thing. The masses didn't consider the Jews socially equal. They considered them a different alien people. But you see here this step toward, you could almost call it anti-racism, and which eventually developed into a full-blown anti-whiteism. But this tolerance is the first step toward that. Wikipedia continues, during the 20th century, liberal ideas spread even further as liberal democracies found themselves on the winning side of both world wars. Liberalism also survived major ideological challenges from new opponents, such as fascism and communism. That's a perverted way of seeing history, but it is the common way of seeing what happened. This is how it's described, that liberalism is good and won those wars. Liberal democracy won those wars. The reality, of course, is that the Jews won those wars, that it's Jewish power that has become more secure and entrenched, not liberal democracy so much. It's what, because liberal democracy is just basically what Jews want it to be. They select the candidates and they run the system. This rise in Jewish power not only corresponds and correlates with the Jews coming to power, but a decline in European power. It's sort of a zero-sum game. You know, the Jews took over the reins of control and took it away from Europeans. Communism, which they list here as an opponent of liberal democracy, that's not quite right either, because communism was and remains a Jewish project created by Jews and nurtured along the way and very much supported by them to the extent that they think it supports Jewish interests. It's not really an opponent of liberal democracy, as that became clear during World War II when the United States and Britain allied with the communist Soviet Union against National Socialist Germany and fascist Italy. And they shared, liberalism and communism shared a couple of key features, this idea of central banking, the internationalism, and equality, which eventually turned into anti-racism in both systems. And that's, I think, a reflection of the Jewish nature of both of those systems. Wikipedia continues, as such, the meaning of the word, quote, liberalism. Oh, by the way, Wikipedia, of course, isn't saying anything about the Jewish influence on liberalism. That's entirely my editorializing. The word liberalism began to diverge in different parts of the world. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, in the United States, liberalism is associated with the welfare state policies of the New Deal program of the Democratic administration of the president, FDR, whereas in Europe, it became more commonly associated with a commitment to limited government and laissez-faire economic policies. In other words, exactly the opposite. And this has always confused me in the past, is liberal means something different to Europeans than it does to Americans. And it's really just since World War II, apparently, that that difference has happened. And it's a 180-degree difference. In the United States, liberalism is associated with big government and lack of economic freedom, you know, regulation on economically. Whereas in Europe, it's the opposite, laissez-faire economic policies and limited government. I think that reflects a difference in emphasis on the two sort of conflicting elements of modern liberalism, contemporary liberalism, this freedom versus equality. And you can put the emphasis on freedom in, as it is in Europe, and that's that liberalism, versus the emphasis on reducing freedom to increase equality as it was in the New Deal or the Jew Deal under FDR. It also may reflect differences in racial character between United States and Europe, the different local priorities that were at play, which is also, you know, involves the different levels of Jewish control locally and also in racial character. And now here's where one of the big lies comes in to play in this Wikipedia article, where it describes, you know, what is really liberalism. Despite these variations, liberal thought does exhibit a few definite and fundamental conceptions. At its very root, liberalism is a philosophy about the meaning of humanity and society. That's not a lie. That, I think, is true. And that's my point, is that it used to be a definition of Aryan humanity and society, and now it's a definition of Jewish humanity and society. Continuing here, political philosopher John Gray identified the common strands in political thought, in liberal thought, as being individualist, egalitarian, meliorist, and universalist. The individualist element avers the ethical primacy of the human being against the pressures of social collectivism. In other words, it's opposed. It's individualist as opposed to collectivist. The egalitarian element assigns the same moral worth and status to all individuals. The meliorist element asserts that successive generations can improve their sociopolitical arrangements. And the universalist element affirms the moral unity of the human species and marginalizes local cultural differences. That's the equality and leveling nature. Now, this is definitely the view of liberalism that whites, white Europeans are encouraged to have. This is what the propaganda tells us liberalism is supposed to be. But as I've pointed out already several times now, this is not what it really is. And first of all, let me point out that even if you took it at face value, the universalism element of it is at odds with the individualist nature of it, the supposed. Now, you could see that as what I've talked about previously, the white leftist universalism and the white rightist individualism, that those tendencies, and that's how you could resolve this supposed contradiction or stress between these things. That's just European nature. The meliorist thing is really sort of the related to meritocracy. It's from the verb meliorare, Latin, I would guess, to improve something or to make it better. That reminds me immediately of Tikkun Olam, this Jewish concept of fix the world, which basically is a blank check for them to go do whatever harm they want and under the excuse that they're trying to fix things. They're trying to fix the world. The concept of meliorism is the idea in metaphysical thinking holding that progress is a real concept leading to an improvement in the world. This is progressivism, basically. The strand of liberalism that sometimes gets called progressivism is this meliorism, essentially. Now, I say these things are a lie, these different elements of individualism, universalism, egalitarianism, so forth. Let me spell out how. Jewish liberalism of today, what people actually mean when they say, oh, that liberalism, and as something bad, as something negative, and don't like it. This is what they're talking about. It's not individualist. It's collectivist. It's group and block, voting block oriented. And it's identity politics. It's partisan politics. Even when race isn't involved, it's involving groups of left versus right, for instance. That's collectivist. That's not individualist. You know, initially when the United States was founded, they didn't think having political parties was a good idea. That was truly individualist. That was the attitude of every man votes how he thinks he should vote and that they shouldn't organize into political parties. Political parties are collectivist. It's not – Jewish liberalism is not egalitarian. It's non-whites collectively elevated above whites. Whites are blamed collectively for being racists and for having white privilege. It's not – Jewish liberalism is not meliorist. It's promoting degeneracy. Everything that's weird and abnormal is actually elevated and celebrated, promoted. Whites actually progressing or excelling in anything is regarded as evidence of racism and white privilege. And it's not – this Jewish liberalism is not universalist. It sicks everyone, including whites, against whites. It clearly demarks or denotes whites as being sort of the target, the scapegoat of society, the people that you can blame for just about anything. And the non-whites are not to be held accountable for anything, even when it's obvious that it's their own behavior that's causing the problem. Now, entangled with the idea of liberalism is democracy, and the term liberal democracy, as I said, it's become – liberalism has become sort of the name that we use for the whole societal system, for the whole spirit of the system, the meaning of humanity and society, as Wikipedia put it. And democracy, of course, is this idea that everyone has one vote. We're all equal, right? Just like George Soros, just like any other wealthy media mogul who's got billions of dollars to dump into the advertising and selection process before anybody even gets to vote. Liberal democracy. Here's what Wikipedia says about liberal democracy. It's a form of government in which representative democracy operates under the principles of liberalism, i.e. protecting the rights of minorities and especially the individual. It is characterized by fair, free, and competitive elections between multiple distinct political parties, a separation of powers into different branches of government, the rule of law in everyday life as part of an open society, and the equal protection of human rights, civil liberties, and political freedoms for all persons. And right there you can see that protecting the rights of minorities, this is what I've talked about before, where you know whites are fed this idea that it's your responsibility, white people, to create a system in which everybody else is treated like a king. You have to set your own interests aside. There was a blog, The Kakistocracy, that described liberalism. It said, liberalism is two Jews and a black voting on which white to have for lunch, and contrasted that with conservatism, which is a well-armed white enforcing the vote. That's really democracy, I think, described there, liberal democracy. Kakistocracy, by the way, means government by the worst of men. Liberalism has also been called by the poet Robert Frost. In 1961, he described it as, a liberal is a man too broad-minded to take his own side in a quarrel. And that strikes me as Aryan, you know, the objectivity, but driven to a self-destructive level. Why would someone not want to take their own side in a fight? The reason why is because they don't believe they're morally legitimate, that they don't deserve to win. They deserve to lose.